Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Look Forward. I'm your host, Jay. I'm here with my co-host, Brad.
This week kind of just made me mad. Like, every story that we're going to talk about today just kind of pisses me off. You know what I mean? Just one of those weeks where just the GOP is out here doing just fucking nonsense and just irritating me.
Yeah. I mean, look, Brad, if you're a San Francisco 49ers fan, just say that. Just get to the heart of it. Of course, you know, congratulations to the CIA for their latest op in winning the Super Bowl for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah. Dark Brandon saying just like they drew it up.
Yeah,
look, which is wild.
Look, man. I
love him for that shit.
I am a fan of this type of trolling. If you're going to troll as the president of the United States, troll them for being ridiculous, right? You don't troll them for just like general policy shit. That's just immature pettiness. But yeah, troll them for having a dumb conspiracy theory about how the government is rigging the Super Bowl. Yes. Like, come on. It's just dumb as shit. I don't appreciate people getting upset that Joe Biden put out that tweet and then tying it to these other things and like getting like fake upset. And oh, it was a conspiracy. He was really referring to this Nigerian banker, these six Nigerian billionaires who died in a helicopter crash. Oh, that's what he's really referring to. It's a secret thing. No, it isn't. No, it isn't. One, let me just, if you've seen that dumb TikTok and that stupid woman saying this, one, it was not six Nigerian billionaires who died in a helicopter crash. It was one Nigerian billionaire who died, him and his family, unfortunately, right? It's a helicopter crash. You know who also died in a helicopter crash? Kobe Bryant, right? Like, helicopters are really dangerous, actually. Like, there are helicopter crashes quite often, actually. Way more than planes, I believe. Yeah, like, you're rich, and it's a cool way to travel, but you could die from it, right? Just like you die on a plane. So no, it wasn't six. It wasn't a grand conspiracy. They killed this guy off. None of that is true. Like, you're just making it up, right? Oh, it was, they say it was about the Super Bowl, but I think it was this. Okay. You think it was, what evidence do you have? Like, that's insane. Like, kind of insane thought process is that. I saw one guy go, am I overreacting because, you know, the violence in Gaza, you know, is happening while he's tweeting this? Am I overreacting? Yeah, you're overreacting. Like, the president.
Turns out people can be focused on more than one thing at a time. Yeah. I know it's weird. And I know that brain-addled old Biden, like, can hold multiple thoughts in his head simultaneously. But yeah, he actually can, it turns out.
Yeah. Like, and so can everyone else. Like, don't play Republican politics. That's very silly. Like, I'm also concerned about Gaza and things like that. But if I wanted to, I don't care. I could also watch the Super Bowl and be like, yeah, that was really good and I enjoyed the game. There's nothing wrong. You don't have to, like, there doesn't have to be a balancing act constantly in your head. Like, you can think, like, this is a thing. I'm going to turn off for 5 seconds and I'm going to watch another thing. That's okay. It doesn't mean you don't give a shit about these other things. So, like, people getting upset, and I've noticed it's people on the left getting upset about that before they even realize what the tweet was about, which I don't know how you didn't know. Like, if you're so cued in on politics.
That's what I'm saying. I think you have to be, like, dialed in on, like, an internet-level politics to understand what that was in reference to. So
okay, that's fair. But these are also people commenting on TikTok, which I think those type of people are dialed in. I think it's manufactured outrage because, of course, that's like the new thing to do, right? Well, over the last couple of years. So, like, look, he's talking about the football game. He's talking about the ridiculous Republican conspiracy about it. I thought it was fucking hilarious. I think it's exactly the type of thing you should do. And apparently people said that, like, that are on Parler and stuff like that, because they just want to see what Republicans are up to. They said when that came out, those people fucking lost it. They were so angry. And I'm like,
there's nothing that annoys people more is taking their thing and fucking co-opting it for your own japes, as it were. So
I saw Elon Musk was like, I thought this was a joke account. Turns out it was from the president of the United States. I'm like, oh yes, Elon Musk. you're the guy to say this? Like,
yeah, the arbiter of all that is serious, Elon Musk, let me tell you.
And the very first comment under that story I saw on Reddit was like, dude, there's definitely been worse things tweeted out from the presidential account than this. I guarantee you in the last couple of years. Are you kidding me? So, yeah, look, CIA rigged the Super Bowl, obviously. So that worked out great. Congratulations to future Biden endorser Taylor Swift. And I'm glad she's now popular because of her boyfriend, yes. Travis Kelce, yep. as I saw.
No one had heard of her until literally 3 months ago. So
no, I hope she does well in music. I hear she's got a little bit of a music career ahead of her.
By the way, I do find it funny. Like I just happened to read an article because there's a sports media website that I follow, and they put an article out today. So you know how like Republicans have been getting really upset at the fact that like, oh, they keep showing Taylor Swift all the time during football games. It's terrible. I will say that they did show her the most on camera during the Super Bowl. And she was on camera during the game for a grand total. Hold on to your butts, Jay, of 59 seconds. out of the 4-hour and 7-minute football game.
I mean,
and by the way, this Super Bowl just happened to be the most watched TV event in the history of television. Probably due in no small part to a lot of new fans that have been attracted to the NFL because Taylor Swift is there and they like Taylor Swift. And they think, oh, if she's watching the NFL, it must be cool. So I'm going to watch the NFL.
I mean, look, I find that weird. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't do the
it's
whole
true. Celebrity. It's true, though.
Yeah,
it's true. It's true. Yeah.
I don't do the whole celebrity worship thing. I don't care if a celebrity is doing something that doesn't automatically mean I'm going to do it. I've just never been that type of person. But I understand, like, teenage girls are. Teenage boys mm-hmm. are like that. Like, yeah. And maybe I was, as I'm sort of revisionistly thinking about this, I probably was that way as a teenager. But like as a 43-year-old man, like, hey, your favorite celebrity is doing this thing. All right. Like, well, have fun.
And to that point, I saw a tweet like some fucking right-wing piece of shit was like this has gone far enough. Like clearly the NFL doesn't want me to watch their product anymore. And so I will not be watching the NFL any longer. And some dude replied to him and was like, cool, my 14-year-old daughter's watching the Super Bowl for the first time ever. She's more than happy to take your place.
Trust me, the NFL does not give a shit. They're like, oh, two more eyes? Great. Oh, did we lose two? But we gained two? It's fine. It's fine. I mean, here's the thing. Like, I don't understand the, like, ramp-up anger about the Travis Kelce, Taylor Swift thing. I mean, look, let's be honest. Taylor, camera three. Listen, it's probably not going to work out between you and Travis Kelce. You're probably not going to get married. Republicans, it's probably going to be over before the next season of the NFL starts, if we're being honest. Look, I'm not hoping for it. I hope they find love and it's great. They have a little vegan wedding. It's really fucking super uber lib. I love it for them. Good. Don't invite me. But why are you worried about a thing like this? Woman is notorious for like dating dudes and everybody really giving a shit, and then they breaking up and people go, that guy's a jerk, on to the next guy. She's in her 20s or whatever, 30, I don't know. Like, she's not, like, maybe she's ready to settle down, maybe she's not, I don't know. But I don't, like, her track record doesn't show like long-term 5-year commitment to Travis Kelce. It probably not gonna last that long. Like, who cares? Like, I don't know why you care. You're making a big whoop about a thing that's probably not going to be an issue by next season.
Yeah,
who cares? Look, I think
also weirdly, you know, because things can't just be what they are. Definitely some anti-woman stuff going on there, because I don't see people complaining when, you know, they show Jack Nicholson courtside at the Lakers. They show Spike Lee courtside at the Knicks. Like, no one has anything to say about that.
No,
it's part of the experience,
right? Like, also, like, those guys are up, like, sometimes yelling or standing up. Like, they are, like, getting into it. What's the name is very famous for that? Drake and everything else. Right? Like, it's fine. She's just sitting in the fucking skybox.
fucking Drake is in here for at literally every team championship trying to, like, weasel his way into the locker room. And everyone's like, ah, Drake's awesome. Yeah, like no one has fucking fuck all to say about it.
He's the ultimate fair weather fan. Oh yeah, I'm a huge LeBron James guy. I'm a huge Steph Curry guy. Are they on the same team? No, I don't care. It doesn't matter. I just want to go. I just want to be in the image, right? Like, and that's fine. I don't give a shit, dude. If I had Drake's money and I was interested in basketball, I'd sit courtside too. That sounds awesome. Like, yeah, I'd probably go now. And I don't care about sports, but like. Hey, do you want to go to a courtside NBA game? Yeah, all right. Like, I'd like to see LeBron play in person. That sounds awesome. But, like, there's never been an issue with that. There's also a weird, like, there's the anti-woman thing, which is bizarre. There's also the idea of they know where her political loyalties lie, right? Like, they are well aware. And she controls a lot of the sort of zeitgeist of, like, that young 13 to like 25 year old white woman demographic. She really does, right? Like, that is her fucking lane. Look, they're not that mad about Beyonce because they don't think black people matter as much, right? Right. Beyonce is way more popular. Like, she just is. She's way more popular than Taylor Swift. Like, it was so, like, to prove just how popular Beyonce was, I believe she tweeted out, like, oh, I have a new album coming out, like, while she was at the Super Bowl. She just tweeted the shit out. And people were just like, wait, what? Oh, my God. And they just, like, went crazy. It's like, she just tweeted the shit. Right? Like, she can do that in the most popular thing on TV in America and still get a massive response. But they don't care because they think that her lane is only black people. They're wrong. But that's how she's perceived. That's her
own. If only there was something the Republican Party could do to appeal to young women. I don't know. I can't think of anything. I can't think of anything, you know, like I don't know, maybe don't, you know, try to make abortion a fucking crime. I don't know. Like, that's too easy. Too easy. Okay, I'm not thinking this through all the way.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Like, I'm going to need you to go back to the drawing board. They don't have time for that. Like, come on. Respecting women? Get out of here. That's not really their bag. So yeah, like, they're afraid of her. And it's very silly to me. I mean, Trump came out and said that if Taylor Swift endorses Biden, she's going to be disloyal to him, right?
Okay.
This, like, because he made her a lot of money. That's the argument.
In what respect? I'd love to know. Like, did he back that up with a second sentence? I can't wait to hear it.
Now, get this. This is wild. Because he is the president that signed the Music Modernization Act, right? Which like upgraded a lot of the copyright laws and things like that around music. By the way, you talk to actual musicians, they're like, yeah, it's better, but it's not really good for musicians either. It also still fucks a lot of musicians too. But he's like, I did that, and that allowed her to make so much more money, and she, you know, she would be disloyal to me and all this other shit. And it's like, the guy who wrote that act, like the actual lawyer who did all the heavy lifting, Dina LaPolt was like, nah, bro, he doesn't even know what that does. He was like, why doesn't someone ask him? Was like, yeah, why doesn't somebody ask him what it actually does and see if he
knows. Well, that's all I was going to say. I'd like go to him and like, explain exactly what this bill did that you signed into legislation. What did you do to make sure that it passed through Congress? How did you lobby for this to happen?
Yeah, by the way, it passed through Congress with nearly unanimous consent.
So what you're saying, just one of the run of the mill regular ass government bills basically that happened during his presidency. Okay. Just making sure.
Well, but just making sure. He did it. No one in that seat would have signed that bill except for
and to be true, or like to follow his logic, because he did that, because he signed that bill, she must remain loyal to him forever. That forever.
And by the way, I'm sorry. I said Dina LaPolt. I referred to Dina LaPolt as a man. It's a woman. I'm sorry.
Yes.
But yeah, it's That's just hilarious.
I thought Trump didn't do quid pro quos. I'm so confused.
It depends on the context of when he needs to say that he did. Like that's what but yeah, I just found that to be really quite funny.
Also quite famously, Taylor Swift was basically destitute before that bill was signed into law. Famously, everyone knows this.
Barely hanging on. I mean, I'm not sure that she was a billionaire at the time, but she is now. So who can you thank for that? Think about it. She only had $900 million, and then Trump signed it. Now she's a billionaire. Convenient.
Much in the same way that Trump absolutely took the steps to grow the American economy that had been growing for the previous 7 years before he took over.
He's the only one who could do
that's right.
it. He's the only one. So yeah, Taylor Swift wins as the poster I saw that I shared with you and Andy. All your Super Bowls belong to me. So yeah, I think it's hilarious. I think it's really pathetic that Republicans really made hay out of this, and I think the Biden administration fucking nailed it. Their response was absolutely perfect.
Yeah, this is why you need people in their 20s to run your social media accounts, because they will always come with the dank memes to be able to get you talked about on this show.
I never thought that I would see a Joe Biden presidency taking the actual administration taking advantage of the dark Brandon dank memes. Like, that is just not something I ever saw coming. But like, they've done it more than the Obama administration did. Like, Obama administration did like thanks Obama and stuff like that. But like the whole dark Brandon thing, they are just like fully embracing it. I mean, this is just. It's wild to watch, actually.
But that's how you take the – I mean, that's a tried and true method of taking the sting out of someone's pejorative towards you is by adopting and embracing it yourself. Yeah. Like we've seen it throughout history. Like it was very effective for that reason. So
yeah, absolutely. And it's weird. That's why Brad says the N word, but not with the ER. Like, that's why he's a huge advocate for. He's like, look, I think it's
okay. I'm an advocate for you saying.
Yeah, okay. Clean it up while we're on tape, Brad. Clean it up.
That's right.
The things he says before we hit record, it's ridiculous. I don't approve of it, man. I really don't. All right, next up. Trump says he would encourage Russia to do whatever the hell they want. And that's do whatever the hell they want is in quotes to any NATO country that doesn't pay enough. So former President Donald Trump on Saturday said that he would encourage Russia to do these things because a lot of the NATO member countries don't pay enough of their the amount of money they're supposed to put in.
I need to pause for a second and remind everyone. We've talked about this on the show before. It's probably something many of our listeners already know. Nobody pays into NATO. I will never ever understand the Republican
agree to
like why they just keep saying this, huh?
There's a agree to disagree. There's a big jar on the president's desk that's got masking tape on it that is NATO is scrawled on it, and then that's like where they put their coins in. It's like a swear jar for like international defense.
It's a trigger for me. Like, it really fucking bothers me because that's not how it works. That's literally never how it's worked. Like, stop saying that. Like, you could, like, why don't you just say what they're accurately saying and they're not contributing enough toward their national defense? But again, doesn't sound as mean, I guess. Not as punchy.
It doesn't hit the ear right. Right. Like, not paying enough for it. It's their national defense. Like, what does that mean? And then that starts to ask other questions. The idea of a giant swear jar sitting on the president's desk where they come and they drop their coins in, that makes a lot more sense to them. To Brad's point, CNN actually put out like a fact-checking thing on this whole NATO thing. And look, I think they actually did a good job. It says all of these Trump claims are false. While a majority of NATO members do not meet the alliance's target of each member spending a minimum of 2% of gross domestic product on defense, the 2% target is a guideline that does not create bills, debts, or legal obligations if it is not met. In fact, the guideline doesn't require payments to NATO or the U.S. at all. It simply requires each country to spend on their own defense programs. And that's exactly right. Just spend 2% of your defense or of your GDP on this. Some countries do it. Some don't. Some can afford to do it. Some can't. It is what it is. Let's get real. If NATO is going over and like starting a hot war, which is not a thing for NATO, the vast majority of the people in the blue helmets are us, dude. Like, it just is. Like, it is. You know why? Because we got the biggest fucking military in the world.
Right.
We do. So yeah, it's ridiculous. But what is really disturbing is his actual words, right? Mm-hmm. You would tell Russia to do whatever the hell it wants to those countries? Like, we know that Trump wants to get out of the UN and he wants to get out of NATO. We are well aware of that. Anybody who thinks that that's not true, you are living in a land of make-believe, like you just are. So yeah, Trump wants out of NATO, of course. And so this is a way of sort of threatening people in NATO, like, hey, you better pay up, whatever that means, right? He also went on previously, he said that the pay into NATO, which again, it isn't really, has gone down over the years, like 15%, blah, blah, blah. It's not true. Like in the 2 years going up to his presidency, not including any of his presidency, in the 2 years, it went up like 1.6% and 3%, right? In those 2 years respectively. So it's not decreasing. It's actually going up. So he does a lot of, what's the word? Lying. And again, these are things you can find out. Like if you want to know how NATO works as far as like payments or not payments or percentages and stuff like that, this is all public knowledge. Like this is not secretive. It's not behind, you know, it's behind a glass door. Like, you know, it's not behind some like locked door where you don't know the inner workings of NATO and how these countries come about and how they, you know, how their powers, you know, distributed and things like that. No, it's behind a glass door, dude. You can just look the fuck right in and see. It's very plain language.
Well, and this is a really, well, I mean, I would say it's a stupid thing to say, except I think to some extent he's saying it intentionally. Really dumb thing to say when there's a fucking dude over on the other side of the world who's currently fighting in a war to try to annex territory that he believes is his and would probably like to annex more territory, including like NATO countries. So like having a dude that's running to be president saying shit like this is a real fucking problem.
Yeah. And look, the, you know, NATO and NATO in general, but, you know, the member countries are actually working to try to do some behind the scenes work to try to basically Trump proof NATO. Like, so in case he gets in, that he can't just fuck these people over like that.
Well, I mean, so he would not, I believe as things exist now, he's not able to just unilaterally be like, all right, we're out like that. Like he would need congressional authorization to do that, to void that treaty.
Well, you say that, but remember, this is a guy who said that he would be a dictator on day one.
True. So that is what he said. And it actually requires Republicans in Congress to stand up to him. So.
Bingo. And that's exactly my point, is it would require Republicans to say, hey, man, no, get the fuck out of here. And if he was like, hey, man, I'll just have all of you fuckers arrested or some shit like that. And they're like, you know what? Do we really need to be in NATO? Then then it doesn't matter. Then yeah, it gets dissolved, right? So it's a big deal, right? And this is ridiculous. And again, one guy is an insane fascist who is willing to rip the world apart for his buddy on the other side of the world. So what? They can just like finger cuff the world? Like what is happening right now, right? Like these guys just want to basically destroy all alliances so Putin can just run over Europe? I mean, it's insane.
But Jay, the other guy forgets things sometimes and he's in his 80s. So, you know.
Six on one hand, half a
who's to say who's actually worse?
Right. Me.
I just have to remind people, like, yes, there has not been a world war in 80 years. And NATO, even though it's been around since the end of World War II, hasn't really needed to, you know, fucking roll troops and band together to fight back against a scourge. You know what I mean? Like that hasn't been a thing since the organization started. And the reason why it hasn't happened is because NATO exists. Like, literally, yeah. like literally European history for like the hundreds of years leading up to World War II was other countries trying to take over other countries just constantly, all the time. And then the U.S. came along and helped end World War II and defeated Nazi Germany and the Axis powers. And they're like, hey, how about we all fucking form a treaty together so we can fucking put a stop to people trying to take over people's countries all the time. And they're like, you know what? That's a pretty good idea, America. Let's fucking do it. And NATO happened. And all of a sudden, people don't try to take over countries in Europe anymore.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah. And if you, again, I don't know if NATO was completely dissolved, and you know, here's hoping that never happens, but I don't know that it would go back to trying to take over other countries, but it would certainly, mm-hmm. you would certainly see a lot more wars between them. You would see wars between them, like 100%, right? Like, you're not just going to stand there and my people are starving and Germany got all that sweet cash over there. I want it. Like, this is what's going to happen, right? You think Russia's going to just sit by while its people are starving in fucking bread lines if it can just roll tanks into the rest of Europe? I mean, come on. You really believe Putin would just be like, no, it's cool. I'll stay over here. No.
He's literally already not. Exactly. As we speak right now.
And he's only being held back. He's only being, if we're being honest, like, I mean, Ukraine is fighting hella hard and everything else, and they are, thanks to weapons provided by NATO countries, by the way. But if those weapons and everything didn't exist coming from NATO countries into Ukraine, and Ukraine had to fend off Russia by itself, they would have rolled tanks through that place in a week and a half, and it would have been done, right? It would have been done. And then it would have been on to the next one, and then on to the next one, right? So, like, you got World War II because of a lack of this. You have not had a World War III because of this. Don't do the logical fallacy thing of like, hey, I've been wearing this watch all week and I haven't been attacked by tigers. So I can probably just, if I take it off, I'm going to be attacked by tigers. Like, you're doing that in reverse. If we get rid of NATO, surely nothing's going to happen. No. If you pull out of NATO, we are the biggest, baddest boys on the block. If we get out of NATO, they will try to take over other countries. Russia will absolutely – major countries in Europe, right? Like, not – no offense. You know, I know the Ukraine is weak. You know, I get all of that. But Ukraine is very small compared to other places. Hey, Poland, you're next.
I'm about to say they would absolutely try to go into Poland. And I think he would try it if Trump was president, if he thought that there's a real possibility – that Trump would be like, nah, like we're not gonna help.
I think Trump would just be like, it's not my problem. That's a European problem. By the way, if you think like, oh no, you know, a president or Americans wouldn't support that, they would be like, hey, wait a minute, hold on a second. That's literally what happened in World War II. That's why we didn't get in the beginning. Hey, look what happened
for several years. For several years, we were just like, oh, that's their problem.
Yeah, that's a European
problem. Same with World War I, by the way, too. Like, World War I, like, we basically had our feet kicked up. And, you know, fucking, like, Western Europe was like, hey, like, we could really fucking use your help over here. And we're like, oh, word? Like, is the war almost over? All right, cool. Let's come mop this shit up. And that's what happened. And then again, like, to your point, World War II, we were literally content with sitting on the sidelines until it landed on our doorstep. And then we're like, oh, now it's time to fucking, let's fucking go.
Nobody fucks with our boats.
That's right.
That clip is funny. That video is very funny. But it's absolutely true. Like, we saw it as a European problem, and we just let the shit happen. So, like, this idea of, like, we saw this evil in the world, and we were like, we're going to go over there and stop it. We're just like, I mean, as long as they keep that shit over there, dude, it's cool. And that's the crazy thing, is the thing, if history was slightly different.
Mm-hmm.
If Japan did not decide, like, you know what, fuck it, we're going. Like, don't do that. That's a mistake. But if Hitler was just able to roll through Europe, it would have just all been fucking Germany, dude. And we would have just been like, all right, well, yeah, this is all fucking Germany. As long as you don't come over here fucking with us, we're just gonna chill over here. That's cool. That's crazy, man. Germany's really big now. Wow.
Yeah. So it's almost as if an isolationist policy in this modern era where we're all more interconnected than we've ever been before, it's a bad idea. Probably something we shouldn't be doing.
Yeah, no, definitely. Let's all just stay apart. Just don't worry about anybody else. It's all everyone else's problem, man.
Look, we're all floating around on this tiny fucking rock together. Like it's in all of our interest to fucking get along, make things as united as possible.
Yeah.
Stop being stupid.
Yeah, well, you know, that's not really republicanism, is it? All right, let's take a quick break and come right back. All right. This is a pretty funny one. You want to take this?
Oh, yeah. Actually, so,
you know what? I'm sorry. Before you go into this, and I do want to get into it really fast, I do want to give a live update. With 51% of the vote reporting, this is out of the New York race. This is the George Santos seat. Yeah, it's not looking good for Republicans. No, I'm sorry. They've called it. They've called it.
It's over?
Dems won. Yeah. Thomas Susi has beaten Mazie Philippe. So it's now 218 to 213 Republicans in the House.
Cool. Yeah. All right. Well,
there you go.
Don't elect clowns to seats, and maybe you don't have to suffer the consequences later on. So.
Aww. Sad. Yeah, this is the New York House District 3 special election. And hold on, I just want to verify it. Yeah, they've called it in. They've called it at the decision desk and also on PBS. So yeah, we're done here. All right.
Well, there you go. good tee up, because speaking of clownish behavior, so we talked a couple of weeks ago about how the House decided that they wanted to impeach Homeland Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas, and they weren't counting on Al Green literally coming from his hospital bed in his scrubs to cast a vote against the impeachment, which killed it on the House floor.
Love it.
And Republicans blamed Democrats for surprising them, I guess, somehow. Like that was their line about that. But okay, cool. Maybe don't hold votes that you know you're not going to win, dumb fuck. Like learn how to be a speaker, Mike Johnson. But they wanted to take another crack at it tonight, and they have now successfully impeached Homeland Secretary Mayorkas by one vote. The same three Republicans that voted against it last time voted against it this time as well. But because they had their full membership in tow, they were able to get this slightly over the line. Again, you may be asking yourself, what is the high crime or misdemeanor that Secretary Mayorkas has committed to make this impeachment worthy? To which the answer is vibes, I guess. the vibes based impeachment of Secretary Mayorkas.
Yeah, so. Look. Bro, I guess. Like, what are we doing? There was a Republican today on Fox News. Was like, listen, the president could shut down the border with an executive order, but he won't. So we're just going to impeach the Homeland Secretary. Okay, so it's not like a policy issue. Like, you're just doing it because you want the president to do something that he just doesn't want to do, which is shut down the border. Okay. Like,
or you're just trying to... Or because your guy got impeached twice, you're just trying to devalue the impeachment, you know, the impeachment process in general. Like if you just do it frivolously, then it makes the impeachment of your guy look less important. Spoiler alert: that's not going to be the case. Like if you just frivolously impeach Biden officials, most people are going to actually turn to Republicans and be like, "What the fuck are you guys doing?" Like, there's a reason that this process has not been used very often in the history of this fucking country. It's because it's reserved for the most grave of offenses. I mean, literally, Mayorkas is now the first sitting cabinet secretary to ever be impeached.
Yeah, it's,
ever.
It's,
So, cool. Good job, Republicans. You yeah, fucking dummies.
And this is going to go to the Senate and do what? Oh, right.
Schumer already said that he might. They might just hold a procedural vote and just dismiss it, like with a simple majority.
You should
before even hearing arguments from either side. So
knock it off.
Like, yeah, because again, this is fucking clown behavior. This is serious clown shit by the Republicans. They held literally. I could be wrong about this, but I'm pretty sure I'm right. They literally held one hearing to determine the quote unquote evidence of whether or not this should happen.
There is no evidence.
Most people told them, hey, like this probably doesn't live up to an impeachment, considering that impeachment has a very specific, you know, application in the Constitution. And they just went ahead and fucking did it anyway. Again, just to score political points.
Yeah, and not many, by the way. Yeah. Nobody cares about this. I bet you couldn't find the vast majority of people on the street who could tell you who Mayorkas is. Couldn't even tell you who he is. Like it, because look, okay, you're going into an election year. People are talking about like, oh, you know, what's Biden doing? What's Trump doing? Blah, blah, blah. Okay, all that being said, you think anybody gives a fuck about Alejandro Mayorkas? Like as a name? Right, because if you're going to use this as a political weapon, and that's not really what it's used for, right? Like you're to your point. If you're going to use that, then you're going to use it against somebody who has a name. You're going to go after Biden, right? But they can't. So, all right, cool. You impeach Mayorkas, it gets dismissed immediately without any hearings, and no one thinks about it again.
Yeah, and here's what. So Ken Buck, a Republican. A staunch conservative, like a Freedom Caucus fucking dude, who twice voted against this impeachment, literally said, quoting, "You can try to put lipstick on this pig, but it's still a pig, and this is a terrible impeachment."
Yeah.
Remember when Republicans got really upset at single party impeachments? Remember when Trump was being impeached? They're like, "Oh, this is bullshit. It's a single party impeachment," even though Republicans voted for it too. Don't mention that part of it to them. Literally, this is the first single party impeachment in United States history. This is the first time that an impeachment has ever happened with just one party voting in favor of it.
Yeah,
but remember, they were upset because they said Democrats were trying to, unilaterally impeach Donald Trump, even though both times they got Republican votes in the House to do it, and Republican votes to convict in the Senate, both times.
Yeah. I live in a world, Brad, that is very confused by nonsense. Like I just don't understand why you have so many people going, "Yeah, no, this is the guy. This is the guy. This
Dude,
is the party."
There's going to be whole fucking textbooks. There's going to if the country, you know, survives as it is into the future. There's literally going to be like whole college courses on the MAGA Republican era in American 100%.
Politics. 100%.
Yeah. Like that's how much insanity we're dealing with. Mm-hmm. You know how when you look back at history, like American history now, you don't get a lot of the like minutia, the small stuff that Congress has voted on and did because typically it's like business as usual kind of stuff. Like nothing weirdly notable happens during this era. Like there's so many fucking notable things that too many notable things have happened.
There's too much history. Too much history is being like broken. You know what I mean? That's the weird thing, right? It's one thing to be like, "Oh, this is odd." It's every week. It's like so once in a lifetime situation. We've never had a Speaker of the House be, you know, take 15 votes to get in. That's crazy. A year later, we've never had a Speaker of the House be booted out, and then Congress not have a Speaker of the House for 3 or 4 weeks. Like, it's really weird. And then we've never had a new Speaker of the House who uses a program to check his son's porn and let his son do it. We've never had these things. These are unprecedented, right? Like, it's so weird, right? But you're right. Like, a lot of it is normally business as usual. And, you know, one thing that you realize is in that same regard is like how much of politics is like the gentleman's handshake. Like we all agree on this. And in this era, it's like, well, you didn't say I couldn't knife you in the back. It's like, yeah, I know. But like it says we are going to be friendly. It's like, well, it doesn't say I can't knife you, so I'm going to knife you. And it's like, all right, well, fuck, it didn't say that, right? So there's all of this like sort of like gaming the rules, and you know, so that's why you see a lot of these like once in a generation, but now it's seven times in a generation fucking issues. It's just bizarre, man. Like it really is bizarre. And I feel like people who don't follow politics and haven't followed politics,
I envy them.
I do. I wish I could be.
I envy the blissful ignorance that they're able to walk through life with.
Surely there's nothing bad happening in the world. Are we on the brink of fascism? I don't know. Let's just go to the store, you know. But like I've been following politics for a very long time, right? And intently for quite a number of years. But like politics has changed so dramatically in the last 10 years, in the last 20 years. Like it's crazy how insane it's become. And in the last 5 years, it's become unreal. Like it's just unreal. Since Trump came down that escalator, it just went batshit crazy. Like it just went completely crazy. It was getting crazy. And you were like, well, all right, Republicans, that's pretty fucking dumb. But like they had like a semblance of like reasonable thought on things. And then he came down the escalator and then their brains just exploded. And they're just like, whatever you say. Like it's all right. You're just giving over. You're just like giving over the entire party to him. And he don't know shit. Like he don't know shit. It's just weird. So yeah, it's nuts. All right. Next up. This is kind of an interesting one. This is the kind of concrete shit I need. White House to require assurance from countries receiving weapons they are abiding by U.S. law. Now, the White House says that this has nothing to do with what's going on in the Gaza Strip. Spoiler alert, I don't believe you.
Very coincidentally timed, okay.
Yeah, all right. All right, bro. It's like, dude, no one paying attention believes this, okay? But like, they're like, no. This is just an opportunity to be transparent with the American public about what the standards we require countries to adhere to and how we go about obtaining assurances that they'll be met. Bullshit. You're like, yo, shit's popping off in Gaza. We got to make sure we got this shit written down that these guys, that they told us. They lied to us. They lied to us. I'm on your side, TikTok. I'm on your side. These guys lied to us, man. Biden administration will be requiring countries that receive weapons from the U.S. to provide credible and reliable written assurances to the State Department within 180 days. And if you are in a actual war, like a hot war zone right now, you have 45 days speaking to you, Ukraine, and Israel. So basically – here's a weird line out of this article. This is from CBS News. The IDF, the Israeli Defense Force, has not disclosed how many civilians it's estimated it has killed, but Hamas officials in Gaza say the death toll is nearing 28,000. Okay. However, Hamas's statistics do not differentiate between civilian and combatant deaths. That's important to know. The IDF claims it has killed 9,000 fighters, but did not disclose the estimates of the civilian casualties. Let's say that Hamas is off by a bit. The IDF says they've killed 9,000 combatants. That's a big gap between 9,000 and 28,000.
Yeah.
It's a pretty big fucking gap, dude.
For context, I was just curious. I was just thinking about this. So you said 28,000, you know, Palestinian deaths so far in this in this conflict, which has
according to Hamas.
Right. So which lasted for 4 months. In the 8 years? Maybe more, 9 years, 10 years, however long Vietnam was, there were 58,000 American troop deaths in all of Vietnam.
Right.
The entire war.
Right. In the middle
for years.
in the middle of what, and that's total deaths, not civilian deaths, everything?
That's just American troop deaths.
Oh, American troops.
Yeah.
How many Vietnamese? I bet that number's a fuck ton higher. I bet it's a fuck ton higher.
Oh, no doubt.
Million? Like, I mean, just insane, right?
Let's see here. 1.1 million dead.
Yeah, that's about right.
2 million total civilian deaths.
2 million total civilian deaths, right?
On both sides. On both sides of the war. So.
Right. So, I don't know what the number is between that 9,000 and that 28,000, right? Look, I'm of the mindset that I don't take Hamas at their word. Sorry, I don't. Again, I know it's very popular on social media. Hamas is a terrorist organization. However, I also don't take the IDF at their word either. And the fact that they have not put out a number tells me they know that number is fucking high. And they know that that number is not a number that they want to be quoted in article after article after article, right? 9,000 combatants, good, bully for you, whatever, that's great. Look, I'm not mad that they killed 9,000 like enemy like actual military type soldiers. They're in the middle of a war. That happened. You can say, well, it's right or wrong. I'm just saying, like, it's the middle of a war. That shit happens, right? What you cannot say is that it's acceptable for whatever that number after 9,000 is. And I guarantee you it's way higher than 1,000, right? I guarantee you it's in the tens of thousands because they're going in and just blowing buildings up, dude. The fuck you think happens, right? Even in the quoted as saying whole hospitals are full of people who have been killed and injured that are Palestinian.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, it's cool that the administration, you know, brought this forward. And are going to do this, but you actually need to enforce it. And I would love to see what happens when it comes to Israel not bringing these commitments in the 45-day period. And then will they really cut off aid to Israel? We'll see.
Because that's their whole thing. If they don't get these assurances. Yeah, they can just cut off aid to these countries. Yeah, spoiler alert, that's not happening with Israel. Here's a really fucked up thing, and this may give you a little bit of an indication, take a little bit of the current or the past, and then you can maybe extrapolate it out to what the future may hold. Quote, existing legislation known as the Leahy Law prevents the U.S. from providing weapons or funds for military assistance to groups where there is a credible information indicating the groups have violated human rights. However, former Senator Patrick Leahy, a Vermont Democrat, has said that past administrations have waived applications of the law to Israeli Defense Force. That's not good, man. That's not good. Yeah, in the past, we just let Israel do whatever the fuck it wanted. But we've got this new law, and it's totally going to be different this time. You know.
Yeah.
Okay. I like the idea of doing it, but
literally put your money where your mouth is.
Yeah.
On this.
Yeah. I just love that. I mean, it's been waived for the IDF before. Well, fuck. I guess this is probably useless. But it shouldn't be useless. If you're going to have this law, apply it across the board evenly. Like, Look, there is even a quote from Andy Blinken, which I was actually surprised to see. He says Israelis were dehumanized in the most horrific way on October 7th. The hostages have been dehumanized every day since, but that cannot be a license to dehumanize others. Yeah, this is a line you should have been saying on day fucking two, when everyone's like, dude, they're killing innocent Palestinians. You should have, Andy Blinken should have been out there saying this shit from the jump, right? And this is a real mistake on their part.
I know that the administration does not want to look like they have their hands on the yoke of this war. You know what I mean? Like absolutely. They want to let Israel do what Israel feels they need to do. Like they don't want to be, you know, what they don't want to do is turn this into a proxy war with Iran, essentially, which, yeah. You know what I mean? Like that's what they're trying to avoid. But at the same time, like if you are truly serious about wanting to make sure that Israel is taking the humanitarian costs seriously, you have to be willing to fucking pull that money back. You have to like you have to be able to say, Hey, like what we're seeing, this ain't it, Chief. We've given you months to get your shit together. It's clear you aren't. Until you do, no more money, no more arms, you know, nothing. We're not helping.
Yeah.
So unless you want to get started, like you want the Palestinians to really start pushing back on you, get your shit together.
Yeah.
And come up with an actual fucking plan to treat the citizens as best as you can and stop just fucking haphazardly bombarding civilian areas. Yeah.
Yeah. And look, we are 100% guilty in that because we're giving them bunker busters. You can't make sure you be discriminatory when you're using them. Have you heard of what those particular missiles do? Yeah, they are designed to drop deep underground and to blow shit up, blow up buildings. Right? They are not there to be precision weapons. They're not. They are a sword just slicing through as much shit as you can damage at a time. So. We're partially responsible for that sort of indiscriminate killing. Like, we just are. And I don't know why they gave them bunker busters. Well, I do. They gave for the tunnels. But at the same time, it's like, yeah, that's cool. But, like, you do realize the ramifications of using those is going to knock buildings down and shit like that that are going to have innocent people in it. Now, if you don't care about those kind of things, which it appears you maybe you don't, then you got to own that as the U.S. too, right? So – I mean, in fairness, it's fucked up, but it is what it is, right? And so, look, I'm glad they're doing the assurances and everything else, but you got to hold Israel to it. Like you said, you got to be willing to pull that money back. And if you're not willing to pull the money back, then what the hell are you doing? What is the point? You're just doing that. At that point, you're just doing it to try to convince us. Like, oh, look, I'm cool. Like, no. Like, do it because it's the right thing and hold them to it because it's the right thing to do. All right, let's take a quick break, and then we're going to come right back. All right. last week we talked about Ronna Romney McDaniel and how Trump, seeing a bus coming down the street, was ready to push her under it. But that hadn't been – like that wasn't definitive, right? Mm-hmm. That was just a rumor. Well, the bus has arrived. Trump fully has both of his tiny hands on Ronna Romney McDaniel's back and is shoving her under said bus. Because now Donald Trump has officially endorsed his daughter-in-law to be the co-chair of the RNC. And not with Ronna Romney McDaniel being the other chair, by the way. And
yeah.
I'll explain that in a moment. So he's endorsed Laura Trump to help run the RNC. I know what you're thinking. Laura Trump, married to Eric Trump. This is a positive, right, for representation. We've never had a person who's clearly blind on running the RNC. Dude, has there ever been a better example of somebody just marrying somebody for their money? Like, I'm not trying to be a dick, but Eric is ugly, yo. Like, he's an ugly person, and he seems dumb. Like, he also seems
it's the gums, it's the gums. So, like, oh,
Jesus Christ, that fucking guy. I mean, at least Don Jr. looks like a villain out of a sleazy '80s movie. Like, I get it. Like, if that's your thing, like,
Eric Trump is one of the like. 0.1% of people, of men, who somehow don't look better with a beard. Like, but like most men, like you throw a beard on them, and like it improves their face. Like beards just improve faces. But there's a very small section of men who just look worse with a beard. Ted Cruz, is arguably in that camp as well. Though I prefer Ted Cruz with the beard. It takes away from his pointy nose, which drives me insane. So
no, you know what? I'm going to push back on that. Push back a little bit. I don't think Ted Cruz looks good with a beard, but Ted Cruz would look better with a beard if he lived in a time when Chester A. Arthur was president. 21st president, right? Like, he's got like an old-timey kind of beard, right? Like, of course, they'd be like, isn't this guy a Cuban? Get out of here. But like, I mean, they would. That would be something they would say. But, like, he looks like an old-timey guy. Like, it's weird. Like, why are you styling your beard that way? It makes me uncomfortable. Eric Trump is, like, legitimately ugly. He's, like, a legitimately ugly person. You know what? In fairness to him, he looks like his sister before she got all that plastic surgery. That's the truth. Like, if you look at old pictures of her and him when they were kids, now they looked alike. Mm-hmm. And then they cut off her head and gave her a new head, and then now she looks like a totally different person. But like, he's an OG Trump. Like, he's got the ugly Trump genes, right? So Laura Trump, clearly a blind woman, is like, look, you should totally let me co-chair because I have a lot of experience in this. I'm married to Eric Trump. And that's the experience I have. Like, that's a lot for me. she's got a lot of it. Trump wants her to co-chair with Michael Whatley, who is the RNC's general counsel. So I guess the plan here is that they will boot out Ronna McDaniel. They will put these two yahoos in. Laura mm-hmm. Trump will just grift the shit out of the RNC, mm-hmm. Suck all the funds they can out of the RNC, give it to Trump for his legal benefit, and then we're off to the races. So, by the way, I love this idea.
I was about to say, I don't see anything wrong with this whatsoever because, again, because she is there, you'd have to imagine the candidates that they will be endorsing. To paraphrase Trump, they won't be sending us our best or their best.
They will not be.
let's just say which could prove really beneficial in a couple of these swing state elections and Senate races that we have. I mean, look, we didn't put it on the docket, but you know, Maryland is now a battleground Senate seat. Thanks, Larry Hogan. You fucking toad.
Oh God!
Why couldn't you just fucking chill out and just enjoy being the former governor and maybe gear up for a 2028 run, asshole.
Yeah, look, but I got to tell you, I don't know that that's going to work out for him. I don't know.
I mean, I hope it doesn't, but I'm only concerned because the dude has already won two statewide elections. You know what I mean?
He has. But here's the thing. Marylanders, and I think most states, right? Maryland happens to be one of those states where our senators – are not like big pivotal senators. They generally aren't, mm-hmm. right? Right? Not like California, New York, or some of the like you got like the big names and everything else. They're like they're really out there. I don't think like governor is different, right? Because you're voting for a guy who affects your daily lives for the most part. They really affect, when you get out of bed, their laws are touching you. I don't know that Marylanders are that excited about Senate races. And I feel like him running for Senate is not going to have that sort of like groundswell. We got to get Larry. I don't think so. I don't think people care about the Senate. Like in Maryland, I don't think so. I never heard anybody getting super jazzed up for a Maryland Senate.
Well,
race. I just never.
In fairness, it's because we also tend to keep senators there for like 30 years at a time. So,
but again, that goes with my point. They don't give a fuck. Are we having any major problems in the Senate for Maryland? No. All right then. Like, I just don't think so. And again, that
I wonder if anyone
too, right? It may work to his advantage because there's not going to be enough maybe Democrats hyped up to defend that seat either. But like, I don't know.
Yeah. But he has name recognition. You know what I mean? That's the other thing is that he is known by every Marylander for ill or for good. But again, just the fact that he won two statewide races. Now, I'm trying to think, when would he have run for governor? So Westmore, so the Maryland gubernatorial, here's one thing that does work in our favor as Democrats. The Maryland gubernatorial elections are midterm elections on the federal side of it. Yeah. So he never had to run in a presidential year. So I think that benefits Democrats because the turnout's going to be higher to vote for to vote against Trump, ideally. So
yeah. So yeah, we'll see. We'll see. I'm less convinced that that's a slam dunk for him. I really am.
Yeah.
Because I just don't. I think your point about it being a presidential year makes a lot of sense. Because Dems get pretty hyped up, and look, they're gonna be pretty fucking hyped up going into this one. So we'll see. We'll see.
Larry Hogan. But yeah, back to If you're the RNC, in all seriousness, like if you're like a regular ass Republican, you can't let this happen, right? Like you can't let Laura Trump running the RNC.
The best is yet to come.
Like, no, that wasn't her. That was
it's yeah, the was other Gilfell, one so. Fucking his other son. Yeah, I got right. it. Ugh. Gross. Yeah, no, I got to imagine at some point you got to be thinking he's got too much of a grip on the party, man. Like, right. He's got too much of a grip on the party. Like, he's about to lose, and you're setting up a situation where you're leaving all of his acolytes in these major roles. What does that do if he loses in 4 years? And Biden's president for 4 years. What does that do to the RNC? Like, are these Trump acolytes, are they going to stick around to do what? For him to run in 4 years? That doesn't make sense. For one of his kids to run in 4 years? Maybe. But do you really want another Trump, Eric or Don or Ivanka? Do you want any of them, or it wouldn't be Jared, but would you want any of them to walk in and have that type of grip on the Republican Party for another 4 to 8 to 12, 16 years? I don't think so. You got to get her the looking, fuck out of there. You got to get her the
you're,
fuck
You're looking out of there. Too far in the future. The dude is a fucking bona fide loser. Like he came in, got in the White House, and then just started losing like crazy. He's literally guided your party to some semblance of defeat in literally every major election that's happened since he won.
Yeah.
Why the fuck would you want his daughter-in-law anywhere near the levers of power in party politics? Get the fuck out of here.
And she's inexperienced, right? She doesn't know anything, not about this. She's inexperienced in politics, right? But why would you – not only why would you want her there, like, again – to your point, he's lost so many times. You're now putting the loser family in a position. It's not just a position that's a lever of power. It's a position that fucks your other races. It's not just him fucking up his.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm talking about those other races. I'm not talking about the presidential. I'm talking about all the like because she would be coming in right around the time that most of the fucking primaries would really be heating up and determining where RNC money, which candidates RNC money is going to and who is being officially backed by the party apparatus.
Right.
Not good. not good if you're Republicans, I feel. So
look, as a person who votes for Democrats, I love it.
I'm all for it. Like, let's fucking go. Like, let's do it. I can't wait. And apparently the guy that she would be co-chairing with is also like a Trump sycophant. Yeah, he's a dude that's been toeing the Trump line, you know, like incessantly since 2020. So
yeah,
I'm all for this. Let's fucking go.
He's from North Carolina, I believe.
So is she, for what it's worth. So
that's sad. That's a pretty cool state. Not anymore.
I agree. I like North Carolina.
Yeah.
Why do you have so many dumb people come from there? Yeah.
Best of luck, guys. Next up, yeah, you got this one. This is shocking news. Shocking breaking news.
Yeah. So remember how, you know, fucking Biden, after the whole Trump document fiasco, they found out, like, hey, I wonder if, like, other presidents have, you know, classified documents at their places or and other vice presidents and stuff like that. And so, you know, they asked people to check, or actually in Biden's case, he checked himself. Like, he's like, hey, like, this happened to Trump. Like, I wonder if I have some things. And they found some stuff. And so, of course, Republicans got their fucking hackles up as soon as this happened. So Merrick Garland said, you know what, I'm going to appoint a special counsel to investigate this, just to make sure there's nothing untoward. And because Democrats have to play with one hand tied behind their back all the time, he made sure to pick a Republican-ass Republican to head up this investigation.
Yep.
Well, that special counsel report came out. And while the special counsel report unequivocally said that there was no evidence that Joe Biden should be charged for improper handling of classified documents, because there's nothing to suggest that he was doing anything untoward. It was just, you know, there were, according to the report, there were, you know, reasonable and unassailable explanations for, you know, why he had this stuff. Mm-hmm. But Robert Hur, who was the special counsel, went out of his way to James Comey the situation, basically, and put in a whole lot of stuff that was, let's just say, not based in fact, more of an opinion. And he said that Biden's practices, quote, present serious risks to national security. And then part of the reason he wouldn't charge Biden, aside the fact that he didn't do anything legally wrong, was that he could portray himself as, quote, an elderly man with a poor memory. And then he went on to kind of pick apart, like, oh, like, he forgot, like, certain dates, including, like, you know, the year his son died or something like that, and he forgot, like, certain dates about things when he was vice president. Let me tell you something. Joe Biden was vice president 12 years ago? No, sorry, 8 years ago was when he was last vice president.
Yeah.
Ask me what I, like I'm a 39-year-old, you know, well-functioning man. Ask me specifics about things that I did 8 years ago and see if I can
something I did specifically 8 days ago.
Like, yeah.
Like, this idea, right? We talked about Republicans being like, this guy mixed up a word. Oh my God, he's incompetent. Like, one, it's speech impediment. He's had it for a long time.
Right.
Anybody, like, we making fun of people who stutter? Like, what are you, in elementary school? What the fuck, dude? Like, today, junior? Like, come on, dude. That's not Billy Madison, you asshole. Right? Like, we're adults here, right? Like, the guy has a speech impediment. He literally helps other kids who stutter. Like, come on. Like,
yeah.
What do you want from the guy, right? So, we know that. He forgot a date. Holy shit, did he forget a date? Are you sure? Man, I can't imagine other Americans forgetting dates, forgetting a year that something happened. Dude, he's got 1.5 million fucking things going on. And look, by the way, he is 80 years old.
Yeah.
Like, you're right. He's 80. He's very fucking old. Okay. Forgetting a date is the most normal human thing I've ever heard. Like, the fact that if somebody said, hey, Joe Biden is 80 years old and he can remember all of these random dates exactly perfect, I would be like, I wouldn't be like, oh, that seems normal. I'd be like, that sounds superhuman to me, because the normal human response is, I don't fucking remember what date that is, dude. Sorry.
Right. Well, and to that point, like, when you sit for depositions, your attorneys will tell you, hey, if they ask you something and you can't, like, and you don't 100% like know the answer, like, don't speculate, don't guess. Say, I don't recall.
Yeah,
I don't remember. And by the way, so Jon Stewart back on the Daily Show had a good bit last night where he's like, yeah, he, like, where he was talking about this, and he's like, yeah, he's like, here's some footage of the sitting president not being able to recall anything during a deposition. And then just went to show like a million sequences of Trump sitting for various depositions, yeah, saying constantly, I don't remember, I don't recall, I don't remember, I don't know. Like all this other shit. Yeah. Trump was a lot younger, by the way, like stuff from like 10 years ago.
Of course. Of course. I heard, yeah. I haven't watched that episode yet, but I heard it was like 2009 all over again. Like he was just like,
pretty much.
Just, yeah. He's just like perfect. I'm actually very excited to watch it, but like, what are we doing? Like, what are we doing? Why are we pretending like this is like, you're as I saw someone say, you're just trying to like butter emails this thing again.
Yeah, pretty much.
And like,
pretty much.
It is the media's fault. You have to stop trying so desperately to equivocate fascism with, I don't know, man, this guy's a bit old. Yeah, we know he's old, dude. We know he's old. If we had a fucking magic wand, we'd make him 55 again. Like, of course. But we can't. We can't. He's the guy who was able to beat the other people in the primary and beat Trump. That's it. Like, that's why I'm voting for him, right? Like, his policies are largely what I agree with. He is 1,000 times a better choice than the other guy. We know he's old. Like, what is your argument, media? Well, did you know he's old? Yeah. Do you know the other guy's old?
We knew Biden was old 4 years ago when we voted for him the first time. Like, yes. Like this was not this was an issue back then.
Right. And that's what one of the things that drives me crazy when people are like, Biden is so old. I voted for him 4 years ago. Did you not know that like time is linear and that he would in fact age 4 years?
The older.
Like, yeah, in honesty, and I'm saying this, like I'm saying that as like a kind of a funny thing, but that's actually kind of how I feel. Why are you pretending like this is new news?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's fucking old. We know. There's a fascist
and by the way,
about to rip us out of the UN and NATO, you assholes. I don't care right. Biden is old. It's not enough of an argument for me.
And by the way, if something happens to Joe Biden in the next, 4 years, or if he's like, man, you know what? I really just don't got it anymore. I should probably step down and not be the president anymore. It's not as if the fucking union's going to crumble from the top down and be like, oh no, we don't have a president. It's literally why you have a vice president that's ready to move into the big chair when called upon.
And right. there's also a reason why he didn't pick someone who's just as old as him.
Correct.
You think he just picked Kamala Harris just because I was like, well, I mean, how old is she? Is she 75? I don't know. Like, yeah, yeah. There's probably a reason he didn't pick fucking Elizabeth Warren, dude. She's also old. Like, come right. on. So it's
and again, Biden is old. Here's another thing that fucking drives me insane. Fucking Biden's old and people, this is a big fucking deal and everyone's got a fucking comment on it. I didn't hear nearly the amount of criticism back in the 80s when conservative Jesus Ronald Reagan was fucking running the country with Alzheimer's, like literally something that was going on during the last couple of years of his presidency.
Yeah, but they'll deny it to the hilt. His son even said it. Like, my dad did not know what was going on. Like, he didn't. So it's insane. And this idea of like, one side or the other. Like, no, dude, there is a definitive difference between these two guys. And what you're going to end up trying to do is trying to butt her emails this whole thing. And you get this asshole back in. And then you'll go, oh, we've made a grave mistake. Yeah, you did.
I mean, look, if anything, I'm happy that the report came out now. Well before we get to fucking the serious time. On the other hand, I'm not happy because Republicans are going to try to stretch this fucking thing out for as long as they can by calling like Robert Hur to testify before like the fucking oversight committee and all this other bullshit. So,
of course, but you know what?
But again,
them burn themselves out on it. Go ahead.
Whatever. But to Merrick Garland, who has, I'll say it. Andy was right. In retrospect, has not been a great fucking choice to be the attorney general. Stop trying to fucking bend over backwards to play to make it look fair, because Republicans have no interest in making it look fair. like either fucking appoint, not that I have a problem with Jack Smith, but either appoint a fucking Democrat to go after Trump, or just appoint a Democrat, a left-leaning fucking, you know, former prosecutor or whatever, to look at Biden. Because this is like this report is fucking bullshit. It's I think I heard I think it was on Chris Hayes. He described it as like the reverse Barr report. Like, you know how Barr took the Mueller report and misrepresented what it said before everyone got to read the report? This is like the opposite of that, where the report itself is a bunch of bullshit framed around the actual facts, which is, hey, Biden didn't do anything that rises to criminality. So we're not even going to worry about this.
Yep. Just nonsense. Utter nonsense. By the way, a little bit of breaking news. Verdict expected for Friday in the Trump civil fraud trial. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Surprised it's not tomorrow morning, right? Right as we're putting the show out. But I'll take Friday. That's cool. That gives a weekend of rage tweets and
and a good show for next Tuesday.
Yeah, yes, rage tweets and memes, man. That's what we're here for. All right, let's continue into this week in stupid. You can take this one, and I will I'll round us out with the final story this week.
Yeah. So
boy, you know, boy. You got to read the title you wrote for this because it's very good.
I will. So this is one of the most insane well actuallys that I've ever seen, ever. So Republicans in Kentucky are trying to ban diversity programs in Kentucky schools.
As you do.
And one of the people that they're appealing to as to why this is why we shouldn't do these things, the NAACP. And so State Rep Jennifer Decker, who's a Republican, she sponsored a bill to eliminate these programs based on race. And he said, or she said, sorry, and I'm quoting here, to the and I have to back up again, to the NAACP, she said, quote,
that's really important.
My father was born on a dirt farm in Lincoln County. His mother was the illegitimate daughter of a very prominent person who was then kind enough to allow them to work for him as slaves. So if you're asking, did we own slaves? My father was a slave, just to a white man, and he was white. I will note, for people that might have their dates confused, this woman's father was born in the mid-1930s, almost 70 years after the passing of the 13th Amendment, which outlawed slavery in the United States of America.
Yeah, here's what you don't know, Brad. All right. Let me give you a little bit of history. In Kentucky, it's not how they rolled. Not only did they not outlaw slavery of African immigrants, or stolen Africans. They just started enslaving white people too. They were just like, "Yo, let's just get let's just get as much fucking slavery as we can. This shit is awesome. Don't tell anybody. Keep it quiet. If we keep them as white slaves, no one will ever know. Because
history,
white people will never talk about being slaves. They just keep quiet, keep to themselves."
It continues on because a Kentucky newspaper columnist wanted to get clarification from her on this.
Is your daddy mortal?
Right. So he asked her to clarify her comments, and she kept saying that her comments were that her comments on slavery were irrelevant. And the columnist was like, wait a second, like, are you saying slavery is irrelevant? And she's like, no, slavery is not irrelevant. But you're shifting the focus of what we're talking about. And he reminded her, like, you literally said just now, like, your father was a slave in the 1930s. And so white. I need you to clarify that and for me. White. Yeah. And she said, well, she's like, my father was born into poverty, and there was a very influential man who allowed them property, and then they worked on it. And so, And she clarified, oh, they weren't paid for their labor. And he's like, that's not slavery. And she's like, well, I might have overstated it a little bit.
You might have. You might overstate it.
Yeah, she's forgetting the whole, you know, human ownership part of the whole slavery thing that passed her by.
They were working for the land that they were allowed to live on.
Yeah.
To eventually own the land. You're not a slave. I mean, maybe like a weird quasi indentured servitude type of thing.
Yeah, if we're being generous, we'll call it indentured servitude.
Right, because you could have just been like, I'm out, and they'd be like, cool, you don't get the land. And then you'd be like, all right, well, right. Like, you just walk the fuck out. I have another theory. She says you may have overstated. Just a tad. I might have overstated that my dad was a fucking slave. Okay, weird. I have another theory that, in fact, her dad was a slave. However, it was not the mid-1930s. It was much, much earlier than that. And mm-hmm. I know what you're thinking. Jay, how is it possible that he could be a slave so many years before that, right?
Quantum leap.
No. I mean, it's a good theory. I think mine is much more reasonable, which is I have this document here that actually may help you to understand this. The document, this is something that he wrote back then when he was a slave. Here we are, born to be kings. We are the princes of the universe. Here we belong, fighting to survive in a world with the darkest powers. He's a Highlander, okay? Like, he's been around for hundreds and hundreds of years.
There
can only be one. And her dad, a lot of people don't know this, her dad, Duncan MacLeod. Like, a lot of people don't know that. Like,
well, that's what I'm saying. Like what she didn't say, like if she just said, hey, by the way, my maiden name is MacLeod, we'd be like, oh, okay. Understand. Okay. No need to elaborate any further.
Like, yeah, don't go. Gotcha. We got it. There's a new documentary coming out. They're making a new one. It's going to be awesome. Can't wait. Yeah, her cousin was the Kurgan. Weird family tree, but it is what it is. Yeah, like, this woman's an idiot.
I just can't imagine the level of chutzpah needed to, again, the audience here is crucial. Like, you're literally talking to the NAACP and trying to say that your white father, who was born in the 1930s, was enslaved as a child.
Yeah, the black delegation does not approve. Like, get the fuck out of here. Those black people, like, there's only two responses old black people had to that. Either just laughing, they were like, oh, that's a really funny joke, like guffawing, or just angry faces across the board, like, get this white woman the fuck out of here.
I have to imagine when she said that, as a unit, they somehow all turned to each other simultaneously. Like, did she say, like, what I heard her say? Like, did she actually just say what I think she said?
She did, in fact.
Oh, my God.
All right. So, from a woman who may have overstated that her dad might have been a slave / Highlander, or, you know, perhaps a quantum leap scientist, my story. Let's see. This week we're going to play Who's Dumber? Brad's woman in her story or mine? Let's go to Idaho. Brad, you've not read the story.
No, I'm not. I didn't even see the headline. So,
Idaho lawmaker worried about cannibalism. Okay, she's because of human compost. Okay, so Representative Heather Scott, by the way, not an old woman pictured above. Like, her brain should still be functioning normally, right? But you guys are worried about Biden. This woman is an adult woman saying the insane things that she's saying. Representative Heather Scott so she introduced a bill on Thursday to expand the state's cannibalism ban and told the legislative committee that she's worried about the possibility that people are eating other people. Quote, "This is going to be normalized at some point, the way our society is going, and that – the way the direction of our society is going. Apparently, she saw a clip at some point. Scott said that she was on an airplane over the summer and watched a clip from a television show displaying a chef feeding human flesh in sausage to contestants, which inspired her to do something about it. The clip, which she sent to the Idaho Statesman, is from True TV prank show in which they pretend to feed people human flesh. Quote, they didn't tell the people. They fed it to them. Like, oh my God. Scott also sent a link to the video featuring a Chinese official denying that his country had sold had sold canned human flesh to people in Zambia. The canning claim was a hoax spread with fake photos of butchery, according to news reports from 2016. Scott additionally pointed to the North Idaho man who pleaded guilty to murder last year and was initially also charged with cannibalism after investigators found post-mortem mutilation and bloodied bowls at the crime scene. The cannibalism charge was later dropped, according to the spokesman review. This woman believes cannibalism is on the rise. It's on the rise.
So I was going to say, so she has somehow been led to believe that human composting is a slippery slope.
That is correct.
That will inevitably lead us to the future. So here's the other problem that they're not reading. I guarantee you this woman, enormous fan of Judge Dredd. Like she just sees the cursed wastes and is just like, I know Idaho is not going to be part of whatever mega city they set up on the West Coast. And so I like my beloved homeland is just going to be full of fucking cannibals in about 40 years.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, no, look, I support her. I think this is the, I think this is the right attitude. I think Idaho deserves a person like this to be making laws there to stop, again, cannibalism, which is on the rise in this woman's mind. It's on the rise.
So I got to say, I still feel like the white woman saying that her dad was a slave in front of the NAACP is dumber than some, because you know, like the end result is, you know, like if she's somehow successful, then Idaho's laws against cannibalism have been strengthened. Not a bad thing. You know what I mean? Like not a terrible thing. It's just kind of kooky that she thinks that somehow we are headed towards a major cannibalistic future just because human composting is a thing now.
I am amazed. Like, these people are deeply unserious. Like, they're deeply unserious. Even when they're trying to be serious, they're deeply unserious. Like, there's nothing else going on in Idaho, by the way. There's nothing else going on.
Like, no, there isn't.
Okay.
It's
okay,
Idaho. That's right.
There's potatoes. There's French fries that are also made from potatoes. And, like, tater tots. Like, they don't really have much going on. Look, I got to tell you, though. When people listen to this and people read these stories, I need, and I'm truly speaking to our listeners, and you can clip this out and you can pass this to your friends. I don't want any of you to have imposter syndrome again. These people are making laws, man. You were at your job and you're like, do I belong here? Like, I don't feel like I'm really up for it. Maybe I'm not smart enough for this job. They're making laws because this dumb thinks they're eating people on a prank show. And she's like, I'm going to do something about it. Don't you ever have imposter syndrome. These people are fucking morons. Okay, these people are morons and they are making laws. You can do it. You too can run for public office.
Yeah you can.
Yeah. Look, you probably win. Like, they're eating people.
You can't be worse than half the people that are already there. I guarantee you. So
no, you can't. You can't. See, but this is the reason why I would not run for public office. Because if I was sitting there and she's like, "I'd like to introduce Bill like 105," we need to expand the cannibal laws because this is becoming a real thing in our state. I'd be like, "Excuse me, are you brain dead? What's wrong with you? Like, they're like, oh, you can't say that. They're like, I'm sorry. The great woman from whatever fucking
county. Oh, so the gentle lady from Bumfuck County is brain dead.
Like, are you insane? And like, all right, well, okay. I'm censured. Fine. Again, I get it. like
what? See, like I said, at this point, I think I would J.D. Vance my way into the house. Like, I'd wake up and be like, oh, I'm a born again conservative. Like, I woke up one morning and realized that Ben Shapiro is my guiding light, and like run for Republican office. And then when I get in there and be like, ha, fuck you guys. Like, I tricked you. Like, I'm actually a Democrat. I'm going to switch sides now. Thanks. See ya.
And look, Democrats would like that too. They'd be like, I like that. Yeah. I got a total fucking troll. Like, hell yeah, dude. Like, yeah. You know, that, like, at this point, you might as well. Like, I do need a dark horse. I need a leftist George Santos. But, like, your whole thing is that you lied all the way until you got into office, and then you get in there and you totally
And then I threw off the mask and was like, it's me, the fucking socialist Democrat in your midst. I tricked you. How did you trick us? I just literally said the most insane things that came to my mind at all times. And you were like, this guy gets it. He understands us.
Yeah. I wore the dumb red hat. And like, you think I'm voting out Mayorkas? Fuck no. I like that guy. That guy's doing a good job. His policies are awesome. Like, yeah, just fuck with him. Like, that's the way to do it at this point. What else is there left to do? All right. That is it for us. We will see you guys next week. Hopefully, we will have a official verdict on that Trump.
Oh, dude, any predictions on the number? What were they asking for again? What's the amount they were asking for?
370, I thought.
Okay.
I thought it was 370. Let me see if I can find it. It is going to be a lot. Look, a dark horse candidate, they just dissolve the entire business.
Yeah, I feel like Engoron's going to be like pissed, and he's going to take it out. All this bullshit he's going to take out on Trump. In the judgment. So I'm gonna say 450.
450?
Yeah.
It's a high that's high praise. That's a high number. I'm going 500 million. Because in order for Trump to appeal this, remember, he has to put up the actual money that he gets that they hit him with. So whatever it is.
Or at least a bond, like he at least has to put up 10% of it. So, yeah.
But I thought the appeal, you don't get 10%. I thought this is the whole thing.
No, you can like they have like bondsmen for this shit, just like they do for like criminal trials as well. Where like basically you stake 10%, you have this financial place that'll back you for the rest that says, oh no, he's good for it if he doesn't come through, and then you have to pay them like. An extra fee on top of it, essentially.
Okay. All right. Look, 500 million. I'll take it.
And I hope you're right, because I feel if Letitia James asked for 375 and Engoron's like, actually, it's going to be 500. Like, I think it's possible that Trump could have a stroke right then. And then maybe we're rid of him forever.
Look what the deep state did to him. Hi. Cool. Me, you, Andy, all thumbs up, and then weirdly down the line, Ann Coulter. Yes. I'm glad I tweeted it.
We looked around, we were like, what the fuck are you doing there, Ann Coulter? Like, she's like, I fucking hate that guy.
Yeah, yeah. And we were like weirdly high-fiving her, like, all right, now go back to your dungeon. Get out of here.
Get out of here. Like, all right, we're not friends anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
One time only.
Yeah. Go back to stir your cauldron or whatever it is you do in your free time. Knock it off. All right, that's it for us. We will see you guys next week.
See ya.